Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm your host, Sandy Fowler, reminding you to head over to mightyparenting.com to get your free email series on communicating with your teen, as well as seeing what other support we have for you, including a link to our Facebook group. So be sure to pop over and join that too. We talk a lot on the show about struggles our kids have and some of the emotional issues that they're dealing with. When this happens, especially during the teen years, they can feel like they're all alone, that nobody else is going through this. Our co-founder, Judy Davis's son, felt that way. I know after he got out of treatment, he and Judy were invited to go to Washington, D.C. They were asked to be on a panel for a military conference. They were doing a family symposium and they were discussing suicide in military families. And when Judy and Jeffrey left the room, he turned to his mom and he said, "We have to do something." So I had no idea how big this problem was. I thought I was the only one who felt this way. And that's the thing, you know, feeling alone, not knowing where or how to reach out for emotional support is a big issue. And it's one that our guests help mitigate for our teens. They are a mother and daughter, Valerie Grisson Elsat and Blanche Stora. Valerie founded the San Francisco-based nonprofit Give Us the Floor, GUTF, in 2015 in order to help teens who are in distress. And Blanche is a high school student who participates in GUTF as a supportive group chat facilitator. So Valerie and Blanche, thank you so much for joining us on Mighty Parenting today.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
Thank you.
I love this idea of teens helping teens. So would you tell us a little bit about Give Us the Floor, like just a little of what it is and how it works?
So Give Us the Floor is a way that we think that having teens helping each other. One of the things I realized a few years ago is that a lot of time teens don't feel comfortable talking to adults about the difficulty they go through because they're ashamed of it or because they will feel judgment from the adult. And so I wanted for teens in distress to have a place where they can really share their struggle and relate and understand that they're not alone because they could share their struggle with other people, other teens that have the same struggle that they have. So the way we did it is so we organized a supportive group chat. We did it in person first, and then we realized that it was not sustainable enough and not scalable enough because we had a big problem, which was transportation for the teens and also their schedule. If you are parents, if parents are hearing us, they know how much the teens can be busy. And so we decided to go online only, and it was in April 2018. We launched first alpha groups, and we tested in December 2017, and we really saw that it was needed. So we decided to go public in April 2018. And what they are really supportive group chats, so they are chat groups, like a text group on Snapchat. There are groups of teenagers of 12 to 15 of them in each group. And one or two of the teens are trained as facilitators.
So the kids come in, they're talking in groups on Snapchat. Do you have the opportunity to interact with them after they've participated in the program to find out a little bit about how they feel after using this?
Yeah, so we try to get as much feedback as we can from the members. So we send them survey. We're lucky that a lot of them answer the survey because we have about 20% rate answering, which is pretty big. So we send a survey. We send them a survey when they join, 1 month after, 3 months after, 6 months after, 1 year after, and when they leave. So that means that we have a lot of feedback and we really use it to improve the program. What we got amazing number, we really see that what we do is needed because the teens report for 95% of them, they report that they feel less lonely thanks to their group. 97% of them report that they feel better about themselves thanks to their group. And 85% of them say that they have been helped with their struggle. So we're very proud of this result of these feedbacks that we have with the teens.
Those are great stats for yeah. the kids to feel like they've really gotten help from what's really seems like a fairly, I don't mean simple in the complexity of what's happening or putting it together, but as far as for them to participate in, it seems like this is pretty simple for them to utilize.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. Most of them heard from us through social media, and they sign up on the website. We vet them, making sure that we make sure that they are teenagers as much as we can. And then when we go through all the process of vetting them, they just are invited in a group chat. The process is, of course, a bit more complicated when they want to be a facilitator, because there's a training that is pretty strict and with a lot of different steps. But to just be a member is a very easy thing.
So is this just local to San Francisco, or is this nationwide now since you're utilizing the internet?
It's nationwide. So, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to be able also to reach out to kids that don't have a support system or don't live or in remote places, don't live in cities. So now we are nationwide. We have currently over 900 members, and we have helped in 15 months. We have helped something like 1,500 participants. And they are all over the US, and they stay with us in an average of over 9 months, which is a very long average lifetime for a participant.
That really is. So I want to get a little bit more of an idea of what's going on. Blanche, you're a facilitator. What is that like to facilitate a group of teens who, this is very personal. This is very, I would imagine, can be very intense because they're really digging into their difficulties, the stressful situations in their lives, if I understand this correctly.
Yes. Well, being a facilitator it can be very hard, but overall it's really rewarding because over the course of a couple months, some people in my group have been there for over a year now. And you can really see people evolve and get to know each other without truly knowing each other. So you can see people going through some really hard times and being able to help them. Like, we've had people hesitating to come out to their parents. We've had people going through bullying. We've had a lot of people going through different things in their life, all struggling, but everyone helping each other, which is really an amazing experience to be part of such a community. And as a facilitator, the only real thing that it adds would be actually starting conversations and just being more trained. So if hard topics come up, which sometimes, of course, they do, just being ready to help them or being ready to reach out to an adult if necessary. So if someone is talking about hurting themselves or hurting others, then of course I'd reach out to an adult. But most of the times, just having the support from the other teens in the chat will be enough to make the participants feel a lot better.
So how do you get the other teens to feel comfortable sharing in this environment? Again, this is difficult. This is very personal. This is something that is not talked about easily and openly in our culture. Any kinds of emotional struggles or mental health issues and relationship issues are not really common conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the easiest way to get people to talk is I'll start by sharing my problems and then getting others to help me. And through that, other people will get more comfortable saying, oh, okay, this is what happens if I need to ask for help. This is how others will handle it. And they can see how open-minded everyone is and how much everyone is really just trying to help. And another factor that I think is really important is that it's online, which does make it a lot easier to share. Because first of all, you're talking to people that you don't know, meaning that you don't have to be afraid of them telling other people about it or of them judging you and having to face them every day when you see them in school or after school or whenever, which does make it just a lot easier to talk openly about your problems because you know you're not going to be judged, which is very important.
Yeah. In talking with teens, Judy Davis is our co-founder, and that is one of the things we found. Teens and 20-somethings we've talked to and worked with, and we've heard repeatedly, especially in the area of suicide ideation, you know, why didn't you reach out for help? And over, one of the main reasons we've heard is that they felt they'd be judged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think talking to other teens instead of talking to adults makes not feeling judged a lot easier just because of reactions. So a lot of the times teens will say, okay, I get it. Like let's say I get a really bad grade in school. If I go talk to my friends about it, they're going to tell me, oh yeah, that sucks. Like I've gotten bad grades too, or I know I'm going to fail a test tomorrow, or just they're going to be able to relate. Well, if I go try to talk to my mom about it, either she's going to yell at me for it, or she's going to say, oh, you should have studied more. You should have done this. You should have done that. So it's trying to fix the problem, which adults have the tendency to do, versus trying to just relate and say, look, I understand, which is what teens most often do.
Well, that leads into another question that I had. Actually two things. So let's go here first. In the program, as you're talking to a lot of different people, are there one or two or even three kind of big issues or repetitive issues, like things that stand out as the common things that kids are really struggling with? You know, as parents, we don't know if we really know what's going on all the time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're curious inside that teen world, what are really the biggest concerns that you guys have?
I mean, in my group, because the groups are topic based, so my group chat is more focused on daily life, daily problems. So we're not going to be focusing as much on mental health issues as some other groups. So the main issues that I see come up again and again in my group, partially because of the age, is a lot colleges, because a lot of stress comes with that, of course, and just academic stress. Because no matter the age, teens will stress out about school grades because, well, it's a big thing and it's so hard to just feel like you're doing enough because you could always get a higher grade, you could always be doing more, mm-hmm. but it's always really hard to just accept that, okay, you did your best, this is the grade you got, now move on and try to do something else. So academic pressure is a very common topic. And the other one would probably be romantic life, because it's something that a lot of teens struggle to talk with friends about, and of course will have trouble talking to their parents about. So it makes sense that people talk about it more on supportive group chats than in everyday life. Because, well, first of all, if teens are in the closet and they're afraid to come out, well, maybe they won't want to talk about it at school, or, you know, they won't feel comfortable talking to their parents about it. So getting advice from people that have been there or are in the same situation can help a lot to understand, okay, maybe I should come out, maybe it's not a good idea right now and I should wait until later. So it's good to see the differences in everyone's situation to talk about things like that.
So it sounds like one of the big draws for teens, or what really makes it helpful, is this idea that you just said now, getting advice from people who've already been in that situation, or even not necessarily advice, but also the other piece you said of just understanding and acknowledging your feelings about a situation without that parental piece of trying to judge, correct, teach, or fix.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the most important part.
So with the academic stress, we do talk about that and we address that frequently on the show. But what is not clear to me is where this is all coming from. Do you guys feel that the pressure to do so well is coming from yourselves, from the teachers, from your parents? Where is that intensity of must succeed coming from?
I would say that academic pressure comes kind of from everything, a big part being just our society, and that getting into college is just getting harder and harder and harder, because you see that colleges are having more and more requirements and that people are preparing for the SATs younger and younger. So it just becomes a lot more work and a lot more pressure than it was in years before. And so it's just really hard. And the idea, of course, of you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to go to college, then you have to get a job, you have to, you know. So it's a lot of idea that either your parents will put in you or that you'll put in yourself, because you'll see, okay, this is what I have to do. I have to know where I'm going with my life. And of course, when you're 16, 17, or 18, you don't really know what you want to do with your life, but it kind of feels like you have to already know, or already know where you want to go or what you're going to want to do, which just adds that much more pressure to it.
Yeah, and I just want to let all our mighty parents who are listening know, I'm going to put in the show notes a few other episodes. Last fall, we had a number of episodes that help address some of these different issues about college and choosing a career or not college. You know, what's a good direction and ways to help our kids get through this with less stress. And I don't want to rehash that. So I'll add those into the show notes on mightyparenting.com for this episode.
So a few things I'd like to add about the academic pressure. What we see is we have 78% of the teens that are participants that report having anxiety about the future. And to me, that was something that when I was a teen, and you may be younger than me, I don't know, but we didn't have this anxiety about the future. We kind of were thinking that, okay, we'll do we'll go to college or not, but whatever, we'll find a job and we'll go through our life. Now, what I see is that there is so much pressure for the teens to be successful in a way, or at least to be sure that they're not going to end up homeless and in the street, that they're going to get a job, that they're going to be okay with their life. And I'm not sure how does that come and came. Is it like everything they see in social media about these very successful people, very rich people, and they have a sense that they should be successful as well. I'm not sure where it comes from, but it's definitely extremely present and extremely hurtful for our kids.
And that's interesting to hear that statistic. And I totally agree with you, Valerie. I know when I'm in my 50s, and so when I was going through high school and college and that, it was, we were excited. We were looking forward to being done with school and getting out into the world and starting a job and starting our life is the way we looked at it. And that's just not what I hear from kids now. I hear all this pressure about adulting and how, like you said, the concerns they have and how difficult they anticipate this being. And while I don't have the answers about that, some of my own thoughts are, like Blanche said, about the academic pressure. I think it comes from multiple angles. I think it comes from the pressure to figure out what you want to do for the rest of your life, from the idea of having student loan debt from themselves, from their parents, from the culture. I think there are a lot of components to that. Also, us parents falling down on the job and not allowing our kids to gain the life skills they need by doing too much for them and protecting them too much, and some of those issues, which we of course also talk about on the show. But yeah, there's definitely a lot there for them that, you know, that they are, we thought they were nervous about, and what you're reporting to us is they're saying that they're nervous about it. And so this, again, is this Give Us the Floor, is at least it's a place to go and express those fears. And one of the things we do know about mental wellness is that just the act of saying something or writing, expressive writing about something, does reduce stress and reduce anxiety. Mm-hmm. And being heard gives us that, again, reduction in the quote unquote negative feelings, and improves our positive well-being. So I love that you guys have this place for teens to go. And you said that teens can connect from anywhere in the country. So parents don't have to worry about bringing this to their area or bringing this to their schools. But what I would like to know for parents, and we've already touched on it a little bit, is, again, taking this step back and looking at it objectively, and us parents going, okay, you know, we're ready to hear the hard stuff. From that teen perspective, what mistakes are parents making when it comes to supporting or helping our teens navigate these years?
So before Blanche jumping, I have a few testimonials about that I would love to share with you.
Yes, please.
Because I think that, that's the kind of question that we ask in our surveys, is that, hey, why is it easier for you to share with teens? Is it easier? Why is it easier? And so one say adults tend to place blame in things to make it feel like it will change later and not fix the present. Teens tend to care more about what's wrong and fixing the present. And there's another one, it's like many adults don't believe it's as bad as you say. And a lot of time they say something along the line of, you'll forget high school when you go to college, which is really not helpful.
Yeah, so I think what you said that's really important is that, you know, maybe you're right, and teens will go off to college and forget all about whatever problem it is, but maybe not. And even if they do forget about it, that doesn't change that. In the moment, you're feeling hurt. You want to change something. It still hurts in the moment, and you still need to do something to fix it. So I think that teens understand this a lot better just because, well, they feel the same way, or they're going through the same things. So, like, a breakup can feel like the end of the world in the moment. Years later, it'll be like, oh, okay, never mind, it was fine. Like, I'm okay now, I got over it. But in the moment, you don't want to hear, okay, you'll be fine in the future. You want to hear, okay, how can I feel better right now? So, yeah, teens definitely address that differently than adults. And then just again, the feeling of not feeling judged and not trying to necessarily fix it, but just being heard and being understood is really important.
So as a parent, if I was going to do this better, what would that look like?
I would say allow them to not share things with you. It's okay. It's you have to accept as a parent that your teens doesn't want to share things with you. It doesn't mean they don't love you. It doesn't mean they don't appreciate you. They are just, you have to let, you know, let them go. They're growing and they're not your little kids anymore. And if you help, you want to help them grow and help them feel better, just understand that. Don't put pressure on them to know everything that is going on in their life.
Yeah, I would say don't necessarily force them to know, to talk about it, but be there for them if they need it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of finding that right balance.
And what would that maybe look like or sound like? Like, how can we let you know that we are here, but we don't require or expect you to tell us everything?
I would say just asking simple things like, hey, how are you doing today? Like, you know, you look tired. Do you want to talk about it? Just simple stuff like asking, do you want to talk about it? Instead of asking, like, what's going on? So just that turn of phrase changes, you know, the like connotation behind it.
Which makes me wonder, are there other specific phrases that are just irritating or annoying or make you want to shut down or turn away?
That's a tough one. I mean, I'm lucky enough to have a mom that, you know, kind of lets me not talk about things if I want to. So I don't really have to deal with that. But I would say, like, a lot of things are, you know, when you get older, it'll change. Just things like that. They're saying, you know, when you grow up, like, oh, you're still young, you don't understand this. Like, just things like that. It's like, okay, well, maybe I will, but right now it hurts. Right now I'm not feeling okay. And just because when I get older, I'll know how to handle it, you know, that doesn't help in a moment.
So yeah, it'll get better. This too shall pass. Those things are just irritating.
Well, not necessarily. It depends on the phrasing and it depends like on the context a lot, I would say.
So we, in the testimonials that we have from the participant, this comes again and again, and saying the adults think we are overreacting. The adults think that, we're overreacting, that, yeah, we're suffering, but we won't suffer later. About that, that's a normal way to go through life. And so they disregarding our pain. I think that's the big thing, is thinking, I know. It's like, you broke up, it's okay, you'll be better. That comes again and again in our testimonial.
Yeah, I mean, I know someone in my group actually, whose parents were going through a divorce, was getting really depressed about it. And asked their mom actually if they could go see a therapist. The mom was like, no, you'll be fine. Which, first of all, you can see there's a lack of communication. And that person ended up cutting themselves, getting addicted to nicotine. And, you know, it's, yes, they have the support through group chat, which is good and it's helping them. Like, they would probably be in a lot worse place if they didn't have that support. But having the parents just think, no, you'll be fine, hurts a lot and caused them to, you know, start a downfall.
Well, and in addition to that, yes, support is huge and support is important.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are not therapy. You guys are not teaching emotional wellness skills.
Yeah,
that's not what you're there for. You have a great purpose, but it's a different purpose from what that kid needed in needed in that moment in particular. So message to parents, if our child has the courage to reach out and either say, I'm not okay, or I want to see a therapist, or I need some help, we need to honor that and help them find that.
Yes, because as a parent, you have to understand that for a teenager, finding the courage to ask for that is enormous. It's very hard for them to go to an adult, even more to the parent, and ask for help. Tell the parents, I am not okay, I need help. And again, it's like, okay, what help do you need? It's not necessarily tell me what's going on.
Yeah, I think the distinction of what's happening and what help do you need is really important. Like, it's a good question to ask, because it's like, okay, maybe as a parent you can't help, but you can help your child or your teen get the resources that they do need to get the help that they need.
Right. Yeah, we don't have all the answers, but there are many, many resources out there and things that are available to us. So I'm curious, you guys have collected all this information, all this data, you've had all these conversations. Are there other things that you have heard of, that you know of, that are important for parents to know that we haven't already touched on?
So yeah, I can tell you what comes again. So I would say that you have to be a bit careful in the numbers that I'm going to give you, because the teens that come to our program need a support system. So therefore, they're the one that not doing great, right? But what we see really, really a lot is anxiety and panic attack. I didn't think there were that much of them. And I saw also recent studies that show that 25% of girls, teenagers, are harming themselves on purpose, which is a very, very scary statistic. So I would say the parents, if there is any sign of your teen harming themselves, 25% of the girl teenager are harming themselves, that's unbelievable to me. Guys are doing it less. So that's the big, big thing. Depression, loneliness, isolation, that's a big thing. We have a big LGBT community too. So with that, we get all the shame that they can carry. And because in some culture or in some social background, being a part of the LGBT community is absolutely not accepted. So it's stay open to this. I would say that your kids may be feeling belonging to the LGBT community, and it doesn't mean also because they feel it now that they'll feel the same way later. We see a lot of fluctuance, I would say, in what the kids feel, because they're searching. It's like they're growing and they're trying to understand who they are. So they go through a lot of exploration, and that's okay. So I think that's the biggest. So one of the things I wanted to come back to it when you asked Blanche about the main issues coming up in our group, I wanted to say that we have four big focuses in groups. So when they sign up, the teenager can decide to sign up for mental health, for LGBTQIA, for people of color and allies, and for life challenges. So that's the four main topics. Every group will still talk about academic pressure or day, you know, any kind of day challenges. But as the four groups that came up, we asked the team, we actually surveyed all our members and asked them, what do you think the focus of our group should be? And that's what came. So it shows clearly what they're worried about, what's going on in their lives. So you have the mental health, because there's a big stigma around mental health, and a lot of teens won't dare talking about it, won't dare talking about their panic attack, about their anxiety, about their feeling depressed. LGBTQIA is a huge one. We have 59% of the participants actually that identify as LGBTQIA community. Person of color and allies. So we see a lot of struggling and hurting into the discrimination of the color of the skin and different ethnicity. And then we have all the life challenges, which are mainly academic pressure, relationships, relationship with, so romantic relationship, but we have a lot also of relationship with parents. It's like there's a lot of families that are unfortunately dysfunctional.
Yes, and depending how you define that, really would be the vast, vast majority of families. I mean, we all have some kinds of, well, most families, almost all families have some kinds of issues. And, you know, certainly the families who are listening, the parents who are listening are working on helping their kids, helping themselves, helping their family to be more balanced, more healthy, help their kids to be more successful, which requires that type of effort to balance our emotional well-being and all of that. I appreciate you both coming on the show, and obviously for this is going to be very interesting to a lot of parents. So would you please tell us, I'm assuming it's just a website that kids can go to sign up. Is that correct?
Yes. Giveusthefloor.org.
So giveusthefloor.org. And the kids can just go on there on their own and sign up.
And I appreciate that the parents that are listening to us, they indeed are trying to do their best. It's that I'd like also that they understand that anyway, it's as you touched on, it's impossible to not do mistakes as a parent. So I would say you have to own them. You're doing mistakes. You will do mistakes. You have done mistakes. And it's okay. It's a part of life. But you are trying to do your best, but whatever you do, a perfect parent doesn't exist.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. There is no such thing as a perfect parent. And I'm going to add one more to what you said to the list of making mistakes. We're going to make more. And that's okay. That's okay. Just acknowledge that we make them and acknowledge to our kids that we make them. They see it. They're smart. They realize that we made the mistakes. So Blanche, Valerie, if a parent's listening and they're like, wow, I mean, actually, I'm hoping that all parents who are listening will tell their kids about this resource, whether their child needs it or they can pass on the information to friends who need it. Is there any particular way you recommend bringing it up or anything you recommend not saying about it, like the things that tend to turn kids away from seeking this out?
So that's a great question, and I would love to hear Blanche answer, because what I would say is that from my experience, every time a parent or an adult say, oh, I'm going to tell my nephew to go sign up, I'm going to tell my daughter to go sign up, they never sign up. So what we've experienced is that when they hear from Givers the Floor through adult, they actually don't go and sign up for most of the cases. So Blanche, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's tough for an adult to bring it up because the whole community is based around teens helping teens. So having an adult bring it up kind of makes it weird. So I would say instead of bringing up, hey, you should join this organization, it would be, hey, maybe check out their social media. And then if the teen wants to join, they'll do it by themselves. So it'll come from their own initiative, not from the parents saying, you should do this.
So the idea is share the existence of it, not give an opinion on what they should do. Just something like, hey, I was listening to this podcast and I heard about this really interesting program.
Yeah, something like that. Because like Give Us the Floor does have a really strong Instagram presence. So I would say if teens are directed toward the page and maybe check it out, then they might be interested and think, okay, maybe I should join. I feel like that would be the best way to bring it up, because it is hard for an adult to bring up that topic and to get a teen to actually want to join.
Yeah, and another thought that crossed my mind, I guess I'm curious how this would strike you, is if I were talking to my girls about it and just said, hey, I heard about this and I wanted you to know about it in case you know anybody who you think it might help.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea too, definitely.
Because that is one of the things, right? We want the kids to know about it so they can share it with other kids who may need that.
I think that would be one of the best ways to talk about it, because also as a parent, then you're not implying that your teen needs help. So you're kind of just putting it out there. And if they want to join, it'll still feel like their own initiative and not doing what the parents told them to do.
I completely agree. I think it's a great way of doing it.
All right. Well, I just wanted to kind of go back and hit a couple of the high points of what we talked about. And it, to me, it's actually pretty simple. It's that teens relate to other teens more easily than they do to parents. So Give Us the Floor is a way for teens to help other teens. They're going through a lot of emotional turmoil, and this gives them a place to express what's happening, to talk to people who may have been through the same situation, and to just feel heard and understood. As parents, we can learn some lessons. We can learn that our kids do not appreciate feeling judged or pushed, or that we try and turn everything into a teaching moment. And we just need to be present for them to talk to us, but not push them to talk to us, not try to force that situation. And we can share Give Us the Floor with our kids, but we want to do it softly as an informational piece about this existing, not telling them to join. So Blanche, Valerie, thank you so much for your work in this program and also for taking the time to join us on Mighty Parenting today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
And Mighty Parents, thank you for sharing the show, rating it, reviewing it, and for joining us today. Remember, you're a mighty parent and you've got this. I will see you next week.